Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game. We are brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. With you till noon, our new extended showtime, 9 to noon. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Gentlemen, good morning. Should be a fun show today. If anybody out there listened to me and Connor yesterday,
we're feeling it today.
Or Frazier with Vingan.
Great job, by the way.
And
the
I'm text, glad you think so.
The text line needs to chill out a little bit.
Well,
all right.
It's the fans Jared brings. Yeah. Some of them are just so hateful.
Right. It's so different, you know, doing the show in that time slot because there's just different expectations. But
the expectation. The expectation is you talk nothing but Titans for 4 hours. So
with pitchforks and knives and all the
above. If you disagree with them, you are burned at the stake.
We got a fun show today, and we will not be talking any Titans, I don't believe. So, you
refreshing.
Know, it's tough to come up with Titans topics in the middle of June. Like I feel like we've covered everything from minicamp, and you know, this is the time where we start to, you know, save some things up for training camp. So
we didn't get to any of the food topics of what they eat for a lunch,
right?
Or whatever. We'll get to that later.
Yes, we got a month from tomorrow. Players report for training camp, and we get to really start to ramp up for football season. But we're going to talk some Preds today. We haven't talked Preds in a month, probably, at least. But the NHL draft is coming up on Friday. The Preds have the 5th overall pick. We'll talk a little bit about that and what the rest of the Preds offseason might look like. We'll look at college football a little bit as well. We'll continue our way too early look at the college football season as we're about 2 months out. We have a new segment coming up at 11 o'clock. We talked about this a little bit last week, and we're going to get into a Where Are They Now segment, and also look at the College World Series today as game one of the championship series starts between Coastal Carolina and LSU. But as always, we start with our headlines. Nick Frazier, why don't you lead us off?
Well, the St. Louis Cardinals are just winning baseball games somehow with the veteran pitching staff they have.
It's the White Sox.
Yeah, but they won last night against Cincinnati.
They did.
And I'm just like, wow, this team, they go on these little streaks. I'm like, congratulations. Like, it's like they need a pat on the back.
They're, what, 2 games out?
I believe so.
Of a wild card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, looking at them play, it makes me feel like there's hope. They could make a playoff push. They're drawing me back in. The fact that locals don't want to go to their games and I can go watch a game for $37 behind home plate, I'm all about it. This is like 1970s baseball. I'm cool with it. Cardinals are good. Tickets are cheap. Just need to bring down the food prices. Then we're good.
Good to know the Cardinals have set baseball back 50 years.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for.
That's what I want.
You got 5 weeks till the trade deadline, so if they can just hang in there, don't be sellers. There might be a chance to sneak into the playoffs.
They're going
to
sell one person in particular.
2 of them, I think, for sure.
Who? Arenado?
Arenado and Helsley.
I'd like Helsley in Detroit. The Tigers pitching. Your boy Jack Flaherty, I don't know what that was last night, gave up 8 runs in 2 1/3.
He's not our boy.
He's not my boy anymore.
He hasn't been our boy in like 3 years.
Yeah, Flaherty got off to a good start this year, but he's been struggling the last couple of weeks. But Cardinals, I like to see it. MLB, Major League Baseball.
It's not the
Major League Baseball. It's tight this year. Like, there's only a handful of teams that are truly out of it right now. Like, you look at the Rockies, the White Sox, the A's. They're probably not going to find their way into a playoff race. But I'd say 20-plus teams probably feel like they've got a chance. Yeah. So,
well, this is what we were talking about yesterday. I really want to hear your opinion on this, Frazier.
Sure.
The thing about MLB is that I think I said the number, like 25 of the 30 teams have some sort of star player. The star power in baseball is just at an all-time high, it feels like. And I think that's part of the reason why baseball is kind of what it is today. It's back. Baseball is cool again for some level. Like, I could go through most teams and give you a star player, someone that has taken over that city for that team.
Even on the worst teams.
I mean,
right?
There are some.
Like Paul Skeens.
Like the Rockies.
Chicago has Luis Robert.
Like, Jacob Wilson for the A's is almost certainly going to win Rookie of the Year.
Lawrence Butler.
Right.
I mean, they have Tyler some young studs. Yeah.
And then the Rockies just have absolutely nothing. But, I mean, even, like, the contenders, obviously, like, Aaron Judge is transcendent of baseball, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, players like that. But, you know, it's just, that's what I think, we talked about this yesterday, that's what I think NBA is lacking, is that star power just across the board. Baseball has that.
Well, NBA did the whole, let's make a super team. Like, right. That's what that league turned into. And now that everybody's seeing this Oklahoma City versus Indiana Pacers matchup, they're like, oh, what if we even out the league?
Right.
Maybe we actually would have a good product.
The pendulum is swinging back from big threes to have a well-balanced roster, and that's going to give you the best chance to win. Like, the Suns tried to go big three with Booker, Durant, and Beal, and it failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is starting to swing back to, like, if you can go 8-9 deep and have good shooters, guys who play defense, you get a chance to win, and that's what we're seeing with the Pacers and Thunder. My headline, just because it was up there, Rafael Devers. How about that trade?
Yeah.
I mean,
and now he's willing to play anywhere, he says.
Right. And yesterday, facing his former team for the first time, it is funny how that worked out that 5 days later, he faces the Red Sox. It wasn't in Fenway, but Zidane Rafaela, center fielder, took away at the very least extra bases from him with a leaping catch at the wall. And I believe the Red Sox won that game. So, you know, I understand the trade on both sides, but the Red Sox, I think they might have themselves an enemy moving forward with Rafael Devers.
I think it's a great trade, though, for both parties.
Yeah.
I think Boston really needed to move on from Devers and actually bolster up the pitching staff. I mean, they have some young talent, you know, around the diamond, but I think it just balances out their team. And as for the Giants, they're in a win-now window. They go get that Jung Ho Lee.
Yep.
He's been an RBI machine. I think they still have Matt Chapman for the most part. I mean, you're adding core pieces to that lineup to where you actually can put together 5 to 6 runs on an average night.
You got Elliot Ramos there, too. So that's a team that can really piece things together on the offensive side. They got good pitching with Logan Webb and some of the younger guys. Hayden Birdsong's been good this year. It's a great name.
Yeah.
So big move. And the Red Sox, you wonder if maybe there's another move coming now that they have all that money freed up from the Devers trade. Connor Newt, what is your headline this morning?
Let's just all three go with baseball headlines
today.
All right,
I'm in.
How about Jacob Mizorowski last
night?
Yeah. Former Sound. He had one pitch against, I think it was Willie Castro.
Yeah.
96-mile-an-hour slider inside. Willie Castro chases for the strikeout.
Tied him into a knot.
Unbelievable. He had... Mizorowski hasn't given up a hit in 11 straight innings since starting his career.
Well, he did give up a home run in the seventh yesterday.
Yes.
He was perfect through six, though.
Yes.
So he did finally give up his first hit, but, man, what a start to his career.
He's fun to watch. I told you guys yesterday, he doesn't throw the ball the hardest, but, man, he's so crafty with the zone.
Yeah.
Like, he will get you to chase.
He's going to be, I mean, he's going to be good. If you're throwing 96-mile-an-hour sliders, like, that's Jacob DeGrom territory.
Yeah.
So.
And DeGrom had a good day yesterday as well against the Pirates.
I didn't know he was pitching.
It went four hitless innings.
Oh. So,
yeah. And then he kind of fell off a little bit. But, I mean, it's besides the point. But he's right. Mizorowski is going to be a huge asset to Milwaukee's pitching staff. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, I mentioned that Milwaukee was one of those teams that kind of was upsetting to me because they're the heavy favorites to win the Central, and they end up not performing at their peak level. Now, don't get me wrong, they're contending in that division, but at the same time,
that division's wide open.
Yeah, now it's wide open.
Yeah.
So to add him to the pitching staff, it only bolsters them to go forward.
Well, the Cubs currently have the lead in that division, and I just got to shout out Pete Crow Armstrong, the fourth fastest player ever to get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases.
You don't have to
bases.
Shout out a Cub. It's okay.
I mean, he's fun to watch, and it makes it even cooler that his mom was the... She's an actress who played the mom in either Little Big League or Rookie of the Year.
I do recall seeing that, I think.
I'm trying.
Wasn't that in the Cubs broadcast? Didn't Boog Shambi shout that out?
Yeah, I think so. Let me see. Was it Little Big League?
Good old
yes,
Boog.
Little Big League. So her son became a pitcher for the Cubs in a movie, and now her actual son is the Cubs' best player and maybe the National League MVP.
I don't know about that one. I think Ohtani still has that wrapped up.
Ohtani doesn't play defense.
Ohtani pitches now.
I don't know.
He's pitched one inning. I think there's an argument to be had. I think Shohei probably does end up winning it, especially if he comes back and starts throwing 5-6 innings per start. But right now, I think Pete Crow Armstrong, there's an argument to be made.
That's my hot take. I think Shohei should just be a relief guy.
Yeah, make him the closer.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, let him just come in and rip 101-mile-an-hour fastballs instead of having to pace himself through six innings.
Well, he's got like 5-6 different pitches, too. A lot of closers don't have that. Most closers just have, 3 to 4.
Right.
Like a fastball, a slider, and maybe a curve.
And when healthy, it's not like the Dodgers have a shortage of starting pitching.
No.
When everybody's there, they don't need Shohei Ohtani to be part of their rotation. So maybe they do make that decision later on. Jake Wallman, good morning. Wrap us up with your headline, and it is also your day for Question of the Day.
Good morning, gentlemen. Little Big League, very underrated sports movie, by the way.
Very good movie.
Unfamiliar. Never seen it.
You've never? Okay, that's your homework for the week. Go see Little Big League.
Okay.
Connor, you would enjoy Little Big League. But I'm going to keep it with baseball in my headline for the week. The 2025 Braves need to be studied. I mean, they would make a great case study. I think they have all the talent on the roster, but they can never put it together.
It's called the end of a window.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna is great, though.
Yeah.
They look great against the Mets, and they win 3 in a row against a hated division rival, and then they go to Miami and just look kind of feeble.
Yeah. I mean, they're what, 8-9 games out of the NL
East? I think they're 6 games under 500. I'd have to check on where they're at in the wild card standings.
11 games.
Ooh, 11 games.
They were 14. Progress
could be worse.
I'm sorry, Wallman. I don't want to.
No, you're not rubbing it in. I'm the Braves. I'm with you. It doesn't make sense.
Connor's right.
6 games out of the wild card.
They need to blow it up
behind your St. Louis Cardinals.
And it all started with Alex Anthopoulos not wanting to sign Freddie Freeman.
Well, I think that was a little bit of some conversations that were mixed up.
I think you'd still be in the same situation if you re-signed Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
It's not hinging on your first baseman that the team is struggling. Like, you're struggling in all.
It'd be nice to have Freddie Freeman.
Now, Chris Sale's playing right. He's playing well.
Yeah.
You mean Cy Sale?
Shut up.
He's not winning the Cy Young again this year.
Not this year. Who would win in the
Skeens.
Yeah. Yeah, probably Skeens.
Even though he's 4-6, but he's got a 1.8 ERA or something like
that's
that.
That's ridiculous.
Poor guy.
Crazy. Jake Wallman, what is our question of the day?
Do you guys want sports or non-sports?
I don't care.
Whatever you're feeling.
Yeah, whatever you're in the mood for.
Whatever your coffee's telling you in there.
So, I was looking through my phone. I've got some question of the day topics kind of stacked away, when it comes to times like this. And I was curious, with the College World Series starting this weekend, what is the best and worst feelings in sports?
It's a good question. We will get to that coming up at 10 o'clock. What are the best and worst feelings in sports? You can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I do have to issue a correction. I mixed up Little Big League and Rookie of the Year. Little Big League is the one where the 12-year-old inherits the Minnesota Twins. He becomes the owner. Not Rookie of the Year is the one where he breaks his arm.
What are these movies?
That's all. Little Big League is also a very underrated movie.
The one you're talking about.
So Ashley Crowe, Pete Crowe Armstrong's mom, was in Little Big League. So her son in the movie did not play for the Cubs.
See, I don't like these kiddie baseball. My hot take is I hate The Sandlot.
You didn't have a childhood if you didn't like these movies.
Yeah. Well,
these 90s baseball movies is what I grew up on.
Yeah. I love you, Connor, but don't ever say those words again.
Little Big League.
I don't like The Sandlot.
Oh, man.
Wendy
Peppercorn, you kidding me?
I'm not a fan.
Little Big League's great. I think Rookie of the Year is probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to think of some other ones. Angels in the Outfield's all right.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I didn't like that one.
I mean, Major League. We've done question today, what's the best baseball movie ever, right?
Field of Dreams is the most overrated movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've watched it. Only once or twice. I'm not a huge field.
I mean, there's only one answer for the best baseball.
Major League?
Yeah.
Yeah, Major League's good.
And 42.
What are y'all's feelings about Major League 2?
I haven't seen it.
Major League 2 is fine. somebody tried to tell me that Major League 3 is their favorite baseball movie of all time, and I forget who it was. But that's the one where Charlie Sheen's not even in it, and they go back to the minors. It's not good.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
Talk about the production money. That yeah, like no production money.
It was. It looked like a film student made it.
That's very possible. It's very possible that happens.
615-737-1025. Again, our question of the day: what are the best and worst feelings in sports? We'll get to those coming up at 10 o'clock. Coming up next. It is the week of the NHL draft, so we're going to get into the Predators a little bit. What could the Preds do with the number 5 pick? And what do we expect to see from Barry Trotz this offseason as he tries to retool this roster to be competitive in the 2025-26 season? Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, Jake Wallman with you on this Saturday morning. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Do you want to go where everyone knows your name?
I have a new appreciation for the show now that I can drink.
Yeah, I need to rewatch Cheers.
It's good.
Yeah,
good
stuff. I think it's my dad's favorite show.
Ever?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a big Cheers guy.
Dating myself, but I remember when this show was on Nick at Night.
Really? I just remember waking up to reruns of...
I don't know if that's me or not.
It's not me.
But I will say Cheers, very good show. Very good show.
Yeah, Cheers is good.
My parents are more, 90s sitcoms. Like, we love Friends.
Yeah.
Friends is probably my favorite.
Friends fell off towards the end, but, like, the first 4 or 5 seasons of Friends.
Everybody
really
loves
good.
Raymond. Underrated.
That one's... See, I King of Queens is underrated.
King of Queens is good.
It's really good. And then you get into, like, the 2000s. Like, that's our generation. Office is great.
Yep.
Parks and Rec. How I Met Your Mother is fantastic. Parks and Rec is great. I haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine yet.
I didn't get through all of it, but it is good. Like, Andy Samberg's good in that show.
Have you ever watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I haven't. I saw that their 17th season is coming out.
I haven't seen... I haven't watched it start to finish. I've seen a couple episodes. It is hilarious.
That might have to be my next watch.
It's very...
Because Wrexham did so well, they're doing another season.
Wrexham is good. No, Wrexham's a good show. I enjoy that.
Well, no, I'm just talking about the club in general.
Yeah.
They bought them for $2 million, and now their worth is like $475 million. It's ridiculous.
That is crazy. I remember I watched a little bit of the first season of Welcome to Wrexham, and it was I didn't really click with me. But now knowing how well they've done, maybe I will have to go back and watch it.
Ted Lasso's great.
Yeah.
If you ever watched that.
If you want a show kind of like Ted Lasso, Stick on Apple TV just
came
out.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a golf show with Owen Wilson. It's pretty good. It has
Lightning McQueen. Really.
It has kind of Ted Lasso vibes. Not the same.
What's
but
this Shane Gillis show?
Tires.
Yeah.
Tires is awesome.
I watched a little bit of season one. It was fine.
I like Shane Gillis. So
yeah.
I may watch it.
Shane Gillis is good. I always kind of thought that's not really his medium. Like, he's a stand-up guy. Like,
well, he's probably just playing himself.
Right. No, he is. But there are moments that are funny, but there are other moments where it's just like, this doesn't feel like where he should be performing.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to watch some of his stand-ups and be a fan of him to really enjoy that
show.
I'm so behind on my shows. Like, I've got...
I know.
Like, 7 or 8 I need to watch.
I'm trying to catch up and... They keep coming out with more, like the Bear season 4 comes out next week.
I haven't watched that.
Bear's good.
There's a new show called The Waterfront on Netflix just came out, I think like 2-3 days ago. It's pretty good.
There's one show,
there's so much TV.
On Netflix, I watched the first episode, it was really, really good. Brutal, but good. All Quiet on the Western Front?
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
If you like Westerns. Which
yeah, too much TV. I feel like I could sit at home and just watch TV all day and still not be caught up on everything I want to watch. But anyway, on to the Preds. NHL draft is coming up on Friday.
We stalled enough.
As the NHL offseason is finally here. The Florida Panthers back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Preds pick 5th coming up on Friday in the draft. And I know that's not where Preds fans wanted them to be, obviously. But you're still going to get a good player. I look at this mock draft that I just pulled up from, I guess, Tankathon. Maybe that's not the best place to look. But anyway, James Hagans is listed as the number 5 pick, the center from Boston College. Lots of good centermen available towards the top of this round. I don't think I would hate it if James Higgins fell to the Predators, because I did see some mock drafts right when the lottery came out that he was going to go right behind Schaefer and Misa at the top. If he fell to five, I feel like that would be a pretty good value pick for the Preds.
Yeah, and they need a center. You know what I mean? Like, they need that extra reinforcement. That was one of the conversations Adam and I had yesterday, and I had a little hard time, I guess, getting to grasp with it that, you know, the Preds are in this win-now window with all these vets, and yet they talk about this evolution of the younger era of players coming in. And yeah, there are a few here and there, but some of them are not producing to the value that they want them to, which is an issue. So when you have a top five pick like this, and I get in the NHL draft, it's a little bit more different from NFL and MLB. Like, a lot of these guys go into the pipeline, they develop a little bit.
Right.
But in my opinion, if you're a top five pick in any draft, you need to be playing in the NHL.
Yeah.
Or in your respected league.
The thing with the Predators I've come to realize is they talk about how they have all this young talent that's roosting in Milwaukee and developing. Then they get here. And do they produce? No. Like, look at Luke Evangelista. Had a great rookie year, was awful last year. You had some that came up last year, like Zach LaRue had his moments. Fedor Svechkov had his moments. Matthew Wood played a few games for whatever reason. But it just seems like, I don't know, maybe they call him up too quick. Like, Joakim Kimmel has been down there for 3 to 4 years, it feels like, and I'm waiting for him to get called up. I feel like he'll make the opening day roster.
I hope Spencer Stastny is performing at top level.
That was a tough break for the Preds. Yeah. He had the personal issues and missed a lot of the early part of the season, because he was expected to be a big piece on defense for the Preds last year. I don't know. You're right. Like, the NHL draft, whoever the Preds pick at number five probably isn't going to help the team right off the bat.
Which needs to. That's the issue. It's like, if you're going to be drafting that high, you need to have a draft pick that's going to benefit
the thing.
Immediately.
There is no plug-and-play Connor McDavid in this
draft. Right. There's no Connor Bedard. There's no Macklin Celebrini. But there are good players at the top. And I wanted to throw this out there. The Preds have 3 first-round picks in this draft. They pick 5th, 23rd, and 26th. Could you package 2, maybe all of those picks, to move up to 2 and get Michael Misa? Because I think Misa, he seems to be the forward that is a tier above pretty much everybody else. It's not a huge leap. Like, again, he's not Bedard. He's not McDavid. But if you're going to go get the top forward in this draft, Misa's the guy. You've got the draft capital to do it, and the Sharks just took Macklin Celebrini last year. Maybe they'd be okay with moving back and picking up a couple extra picks.
And if you're the Preds and you're in a win-now window with all these vets, you need to do that. You need to trade up and get a top 2 pick.
Right.
It's a must.
Do you really need 3 guys in the first round?
And this is where everybody has the conversation of, well, it feels like Barry's half in and half out. He wants to work with this window of all the vets and wants to really help develop the youth. That's where it comes down to the decision. If you want to keep 3 first-round draft picks, that means you're on the side of, oh, we're here to develop.
Right.
We're not here to go for it. But when you make a move for Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea, you're going for it.
Yeah.
So you need to go for it and move all 3 of these picks into a top 2 spot.
And Barry Trotz has talked about that, of, we have all these picks. That doesn't mean we're going to use all of these picks. It feels like that would be a Barry Trotz-type move, to move up and go get a Michael Misa at number 2. Schaefer, it seems likely, is going to go 1 to the Islanders. But I could see the Sharks being motivated to move back. And if the Preds aren't in love with James Higgins or, you know, Frondell or one of these other guys that are going to be there at 5, maybe you do make that move. And Misa, although, again, I don't know if Misa's going to be immediate plug-and-play, makes the opening day NHL roster, I think he's probably closer to helping out this team if you take him than somebody else would be at pick number 5.
I just feel like with all this capital that the Preds have, I think it would be in their best interest to try and move up. Why would you? I mean, you're in this, I don't want to say win-now window, because they obviously can't win.
No, it is win-now.
But if you're in this window with all these veterans and all these as Jared calls them, pawpaws, you're in this window where you kind of have to produce results. I mean, you have Forsberg in his window. Yossi's, we don't know if he'll be a health liability from now on with his recent diagnosis, but Saros's new contract kicks in next week. You have all these vets. You kind of have to produce results. So I feel like by getting as high of a prospect as you can in this draft, I think that would help your franchise in the long run, especially in the situation you put yourself in.
Preds have 5 of the top 55 picks in this draft, so plenty of draft capital.
Or better yet, use that draft capital and get a proven player out there. I don't know who would possibly be willing to sell that.
Yeah.
You're not going to get, you know, a Leon Draisaitl or anyone like that, but you could maybe get a producing center.
Right. And maybe that's something that starts to pop up over the next week or so as we lead up to the draft. Preds have a lot of big decisions to make when it comes to this roster this offseason because, as you guys have said, this roster is built to win now. Like, that's what they did when they signed Saros to that extension and they brought in Stamkos, Shea, and Marchessault. Can they make the necessary changes around those guys to compete this year? We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you Saturday mornings for his company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on the Iowa Cubs. Pregame begins at 6:20. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman for his company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We are looking at the Predators as the NHL offseason approaches. Draft is a week from yesterday, Friday night, and you can listen in to Draft Night in Smashville right here on 102.5 The Game and get all of your up-to-the-minute updates on what the Predators do with their 3 first-round draft picks. We talked possibly about them moving up, but I think there's a lot of big decisions for Barry Trotz to make this offseason, and the first one is Jonathan Marchessault. That's the one that I think is the first domino. Do they keep him? Do they trade him after the comments he made about Andrew Brunette? Didn't have a great season in his first year with the Preds. I think that's going to tell a lot about which way the Preds want to go with this thing is, do they get off of Jonathan Marchessault and just say, you know what, it was a bad decision, it failed, let's just get what we can and move on? Or do they hope that they can reconcile things in year 2 and turn him back into the really accomplished goal scorer that he was with Vegas?
I think they're going to you're good. I think they're going to try
Nice, Joe.
Joe Rex.
That was my worst one ever.
Yeah, that was bad.
I clobbered that mic.
I mean, you like it put
you
the
Mike
hit.
Tyson, man. You get a right hook.
Put the hit stick on it. I mean, good Lord.
But no, for the Preds, I think they're going to do this as a little trial run. I think you're going to see about 10, 15 games. This thing ain't working out. I'm pretty sure both parties would be okay with moving that no trade clause.
You mentioned it during the break while we were talking. I feel like you could flip him to a contender and he'd be okay.
Yeah.
Like flip him to a Edmonton or a Toronto. Go get Zach Hyman or Nugent Hopkins, or you're not going to get Mitch Marner. I promise you the Mitch Marner pipe dream for the Predators and needs to be studied.
Nobody would want that. If you think
I wouldn't.
That. No.
I wouldn't feel good about that because guess what you're doing? You're adding another veteran, another pawpaw to the team that may or may not produce.
Yeah, and I think for the Preds this season, there's going to be obviously a increase of production. There's going to be more wins, obviously, on the score sheets. But the reason why I say that is because the chemistry's there now. They've had a year to really develop and get to know everybody, one another. I look at it almost as like the Titans. I know we're not talking football today, but you're building a foundation. I think the Preds have built some form of a foundation with all these vets that hopefully it clicks. I air quote hopefully because that's – it's a very cautious air we're talking about. Very cautious air.
Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, of course they will say that they want to, but there is no way they truly believe they can be a contender this year. It would be a supremely pleasant surprise at best, so Barry still has to plan for a slow build behind the scenes. I think that they backed themselves into a corner with those 3 signings last year. They opened a window. It went horribly in year 1, But if you're looking at just the talent on this team, the talent is there with, I mean, the guys you already had with Forsberg and Yossi, and you hope that Evangelista and maybe some of the younger guys can step up. But you did bring in Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, two guys who have won Stanley Cups before. And then Brady Shea, who you signed to, was it a 7-year deal for Brady Shea?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like you can change the makeup of this team in one offseason after the big moves that you've made. You kind of have to run it back with this group. There's going to be some shuffling. We already saw them trade for Erik Haula. There's going to be a few moves where you bring in maybe a third line, you send somebody else off. But it's going to be a very similar team at the top as it was last year. I think you're right, Nick, that you have to hope that the guys who had bad years last year and didn't live up to the hype are able to bounce back this year. And I think the Preds, on paper, probably are a playoff team. I don't know if they're a Stanley Cup contender like everyone thought they would be last year.
Yeah. Sorry, Frazier.
After you, please. After you, please.
I disagree with that text to an extent. I think the Predators truly believe they are a contender. I think they are looking at this past season and thinking, yeah, it was a fluke. It was just a one-off. That's not going to happen again if we run it back. How many changes have they made? They kept the coach. They kind of have to keep that core together because of how much money you spent
on
it.
Right, there really wasn't an option to get rid of a lot of those guys.
But the main thing is they kept Andrew Brunette. If they really believed that they weren't a contender, they would have canned him immediately.
Yeah.
And maybe brought in a prominent coach like Dallas's coach that they just fired.
DeBoer?
Yeah, not Kalen.
Not
Pete.
Kalen DeBoer.
Pete not
DeBoer.
Kalen.
They're not related somehow, which is kind of crazy.
That would be funny if they were.
Both coaches getting canned.
Yeah, Kalen hasn't been canned yet.
Not yet.
Might be.
He's don't be the guy after the guy. But to my point, I think they truly believe that they are contenders because of the lack of changes they made. Like, you're still trotting out your same core. You didn't make any moves. You're not. Doesn't sound like Barry Trotz wants to make any prominent signings this year in free agency. So if they really believed that they weren't contenders, they would probably make a lot of changes, and they didn't do that.
And I'll say this, and it's going to really make me mad, but Yaroslav Askarov screwed this whole thing up. I think he genuinely screwed all this up.
He screwed himself up, too.
Well, that, but like, he wanted to start so bad, and I also think UC Soros, along with all this, that long contract, it's just, if you had Askarov as your backup, I think this whole thing plays out completely different. I really do. I think when Soros goes in those slumps, you can put Askarov in there and it would have been just fine. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yusitsanen, and he showed some good promise last year. But I think if Askarov just waited in the wing, just backed up Soros, would have been just fine.
Yeah, it does make you wonder if I was kind of on the side of Willie and were they the Avengers last year?
Yes,
that was what they called themselves. you got to keep Soros. But looking back, with the assets you could have gotten for UC Soros, and you don't know if Askarov would have turned into a top 10 goalie in the league.
Right.
Like, a lot of it would have had to go right for him. But you felt good about the future with him, and if you had Wedgewood or Onanen, obviously made the trade there.
Yeah.
That could be a good transition goalie to get you to Askarov. But the assets that you had, that you could have gotten for UC Soros, really could have helped this team last year and moving forward.
Yeah, and that's what angers me the most, is that if Askarov stayed in the equation of all this, and you still go after a Eustace Onanen, because Barry Trotz said, like, our scouts have been watching this.
Right.
Guy, and they bring him in from Colorado, and he's pretty decent. And I think, like you're saying, use him as a transitional goaltender, kind of like Dan Ellis back in the day with the Preds. I don't know if y'all remember that. You remember that?
Sorry, I'm watching the Ryan meetup right now.
Oh, the Ryans.
All the Ryans with the Ryan. The most exciting thing to happen for the Rockies this year.
Oh, the pitcher's name is Ryan, too. Well,
Ryan McMahon homered for the Rockies.
Yeah, what a
really
night. What a night for Ryans at Coors Field.
We had a few Ryans that worked here in the past.
Yeah. Porth.
Yeah. And Ryan, the sales guy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
If you're a Ryan, please text in. We'll shout you out.
We will give you a nice shout out, Ryan.
We'd love to get a Ryan in here. Big offseason for the Preds.
The office. That Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan, What was his last name?
Howard.
Howard.
Ryan,
Howard.
Right. Yeah. Ryan started the fire.
Not that Ryan Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, not baseball Ryan Howard.
Yeah. Big offseason for the Predators coming up, including Friday night in the draft. Next week, we'll be able to recap what the Predators do with those three first-round picks, whether they make all of them, whether they trade some of them. We will be able to react tomorrow, or excuse me, next week, 9 a.m. to noon. But again, draft night in Smashville, you can listen in live right here on the game next week as the picks come in. We will take a break when we come back. It's 9:45 on a Saturday. Means it's time for Newt's Notes. Connor Newt takes over the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, Forrest Company. Here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. It's 9:45 here on Forrest Company. You hear the music. It's time for Newt's Notes. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman. But take it away, Connor Newt.
All right, this is going to be a little bit of a hot one today, all right? I think we need to revise what should be classified as a sport in 2025, the year of our Lord.
Oh.
Ooh, yes, do tell.
Man.
Esports is not a sport. So stop trying to convince me that it is. Anyone that sits behind a keyboard with a controller and plays a video game is not an athlete. I do it every day. Not competitively. The only competitive way I'll play a game is if I'm doing like an online dynasty in college football or something.
Where it gets real competitive.
Does that make me a, you know, prominent athlete in today's society? No.
I'll work up a sweat.
But the fact that we have these
stadium pulls.
The palms.
Yeah.
The fact that we have these events where it's like team phase versus team whatever.
Yeah.
Team Rocket. In like
Team Rocket.
Team Riot.
From Pokemon.
Yeah, see what I did there? Yeah. The fact that we have these and it's like this major televised competition over on Twitch is embarrassing.
People care about that stuff.
I don't get it.
But it's not a sport for sure.
There are obviously some major exceptions, but I try to run under the general rule of thumb that if it does not involve a ball or a puck, it is not a sport. There are obviously exceptions. Amateur wrestling, swimming, track and field.
Darts.
Darts is not a sport. Rugby.
Yeah, darts is not a sport. Darts is a game.
Wow. Interesting development on Forrest Company.
Darts is a hobby.
I have a very like strict definition of a sport. A sport, it has to be athletic.
Yep.
And you cannot practice exactly the way you compete.
Hot take, bowling is not a sport.
No. Frazier is shook.
Bowling is a game.
Any sport
bowling?
Bowling's not
any
a sport.
Sport that I can sit on the sideline and eat a piece of pizza while I wait for my turn is not a
bowling
sport.
Is a game. And I would even argue like track and field and swimming, they're races. It's a race.
See, I think they're sports because you have to be
that in, one is tough for
swimming
me.
Especially, you have to be in peak physical condition.
No, I just like my younger sister did dance growing up and she used to try and tell me that was a sport and very impressive. Like could not do it. I'm not trying to take anything away from anyone who dances, but it's a competition.
So my sister is watching the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader documentary on Netflix. I sat down and watched it yesterday. While I do think they like what they go through is absolutely grueling. Like their bodies have to be in peak physical condition.
Right.
You have to be on point with the choreography and, you know your stuff. I think it's more of a competition, than it is a sport.
Right, because it's decided by judges. I think if anything that's decided by judges isn't going to be a sport for me.
Right.
Would a referee be considered a judge?
No, because the referees don't necessarily decide the game.
What about boxing?
They have a line
boxing
judge.
Is judge.
What about a line judge?
Yeah, like Jake Wallman.
Yeah.
He's a line
professional
judge.
Professional line judge.
Heading up to Clarksville tomorrow. Big one.
That's what you think.
It's a big one.
Yeah, Nashville Cats in the semifinals tomorrow.
But the main one I'm picking on is esports, because the fact that people consider that to be a sport is just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, it has to be athletic, for sure.
Golf, for example, is a sport.
Golf is close for me.
Don't you dare.
But, like, to go on his point, you practice exactly the way you play for golf.
See, the only reason I would argue differently for golf that golf is a sport is that you never know weather.
Right.
And the whole location changes. They can move the tees. Like, it could be, like, they can change some things. But, like, for instance, again, I don't want, like, gymnastics. I don't want to go after gymnastics is a sport.
Y'all are treading some murky waters.
I know. I'm not
right?
trying. I don't want to toe the line too far.
I mean, the line's been crossed for me. You're saying darts ain't a sport.
Darts is not a sport.
No. If I can throw a dart at the wall, 5 sheets to the wind in a bar, it's not a sport.
Here's the thing. If you can throw a perfect 9-darter every time, congratulations. Then it's not a sport. I think
it's a skill for sure. It's just not a sport.
Really? I mean, yeah, it's a skill. I get it,
I'm not taking anything away from them. They're very skilled, right? But it's a game. It's not a sport.
It's a hobby.
Like, would you say that chess is a sport?
Here's my hottest one.
Hold up. He said chess. Chess is more of a mental game, all right?
So it's darts.
No. There's a technique that goes into it.
Would you say skee ball is a sport?
No.
I gotta show you a video in the break.
I mean, I think Major League Eating is a sport.
No,
really? I do.
Stop.
Can you eat 20 pounds of hot dogs?
No, but that's not a sport. Gluttony is not a sport.
For me, if there's something I cannot do that involves a referee in some regard, I consider it a sport.
No, it. If
America's Got Talent,
if a sport
has
is just
judges,
something,
I said referee. Yeah, I meant to say referee. If I didn't, sorry.
If a sport is just qualified by something I can't do, then there are a lot of things that would be considered sports.
Here's one that is going to piss a lot of people off. Motor racing is not a sport.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wow. They're athletes, but it's not a sport.
I can drive.
So does that include like horse racing and stuff? Is that?
No, jockeys aren't it.
Jockeys aren't athletes.
It's not a sport.
No, it's a hobby.
For the horses, it might be. But not for the people.
Wow, we are reaching some new waters here with you guys. I did not know that y'all didn't think about all this
stuff. 2438 says, if darts isn't a sport, then neither is golf. I disagree with that. Golf is...
Yes, 243.
Golf
yes.
takes much more athleticism and, like, I mean, there are dart boards and bars all over the country.
Yes, exactly. That's my thing with bowling. If I can sit on the side and eat a family-sized pizza while I wait for my turn and still bowl a 140.
What about billiards? You guys think billiards
pool
is
not a sport?
What is this, 1920?
It's a game. Like
football's a game,
but it's a sport. I think there's a.
Kids go out to recess and play football in the backyard.
I have a very strict difference between sport and game. Like,
yeah, what's the difference? You have to explain it to me.
A game isn't as athletic. Like, you don't need to be an athlete to be a darts player.
I would put billiards in the same category I would put, like, cornhole. It's a game.
Yeah. No, cornhole's not a sport.
I agree cornhole's not a sport.
Like, wow. I would say that you have to be an athlete to play a sport, but in order to play darts, pool, and cornhole, you don't have to be an athlete.
What about tennis?
Tennis is absolutely a sport.
100%.
He's just going to go through every sport.
I'm just running through my brain now. Like,
Does this one make you feel any better? Rugby is absolutely a sport.
Rugby, yeah, 100%.
That does help a little bit.
Ben texted in, pickleball and disc golf are the lowest tier of sports.
Neither are sports.
What?
Wow.
No, those are both sports.
Pickleball is 100% a sport.
If tennis is a sport, then pickleball is a sport.
Pickleball, maybe. Disc golf is not a sport.
What about ping pong?
Ping pong? Oh, ping pong. I mean.
Those Olympic ping pong guys? That's
now
impressive.
The now Japanese get really intense with ping pong too.
We're really getting into deep waters here because my cousin,
we're toeing the line.
My cousin in Italy is a professional badminton athlete.
Oh, badminton's a sport.
Okay, all right, good. All right, we're good.
All right. I think all the racket sports. I think those are sports.
Even though you can play them on a beach.
Let me.
Yeah.
What about
volleyball's a sport? Like beach volleyball.
What about the St. Edward's Special? Wall ball.
All right. All right, listen, you're talking to a 3-time champ here, okay?
Hey, no, I balled out at wall ball. Yeah. Wall ball's a great game, not a sport. Great game.
For those that are curious, Connor's father was my PE teacher, and he put on a great curriculum at St. Edward's.
I love
Red
it.
Light, green light, baby.
Not just that. He brought in actual soccer goals inside.
He do full squid games?
Yeah, honestly.
Is squid games a sport? We discuss next.
No.
0780 says, man, it's always a slow day when this topic comes up on sports radio.
It's June.
It's June. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but this is, I mean, it's a fun topic.
This conversation, it went for a weird left turn, and it's almost to the same point if the Savannah Bananas are better than the Sounds. That's how
Savannah Bananas, not a sport.
Let's not get into that again.
Yeah, we're not getting into that again. Don't make me mad.
I'm just saying that's what it equates to, this, my anger It's my anger levels. It equates to that.
Devin and Dixon saying, you try sitting inside a 120-degree race car for 3 hours and tell me motor racing isn't a sport. I mean,
I'm on the side that it is.
I'm not trying to take anything away from them. I just have a strict definition of sport, and I just don't. I don't think driving falls into that.
Kyle in Clarksville says, if you can make a good living off of it, it's a sport.
No, that's
so
accounting is.
Yeah,
sport.
I was just about to say something like that. Music is a sport, everyone.
I think it. Everybody has their own definition, and
in conclusion. Esports is not
esports
a sport.
Is not a
Stop
sport.
Trying to convince
yes,
me that it is.
There we go. That's the point in Newt's notes today. 2438 says golf is not a sport, fellas. There's no competition in it. It's
There's
you versus the hole in the ball. Golf is a sport.
There's competition in it. What do you think the Masters is?
Right, and you have to be an athlete to play golf.
Right,
like,
golf is. Like almost hitting a golf ball is almost as hard as hitting a baseball.
With the exception of John Daly.
Okay. All right. Okay.
John Daly is the exception, not the rule. And John Daly in his prime
was good.
Yeah. Was more of an athlete than he is now. But like you look at like Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, those guys are athletes.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods won a US Open on a broken leg.
Yeah.
Like I
golf's a sport.
Golf is borderline to me, but I put it in the category of sport.
What about Fat Perez?
Yeah, he's an athlete.
Okay, all right, we're good. All right. Yeah. I'm happy now.
Look,
okay.
we pushed him to the limit, and then we brought him back. Yeah. That's how you do it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. That was a fun Newt's Notes. Well done, Connor. We've got.
Thank you. I thought of it in the car this morning.
Very controversial, apparently, but... What's a sport? What's not? Not our question of the day. Our question of the day is, what is the best feeling and worst feeling in sports? You can answer that again, 615-737-1025. Speaking of sports, tune into 1025 The Game for NASCAR coverage of Explore the Pocono Mountains 250 at 2:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. We'll answer the question of the day after this. You're on Four's Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.